Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
The title of my talk, as Tom mentioned, is Everyday Miracles. And I know that term may sound a little bit strange because most people don't think of miracles as things that happen every day. It's kind of an oxymoron, like military intelligence or jumbo shrimp, that kind of a thing, you know. We think of miracles as something supernatural, maybe, or something mystical or magical or unique or something that only God can do, however you visualize God. Miracles are something we can hope for. They're something we can pray for, but they're not something we're supposed to expect. I mean, if it happens, that great. If it doesn't, oh well, we may be disappointed when a miracle doesn't happen, but then again, it wasn't supposed to happen anyway, because if it did, that'd be a miracle. See, we get kind of in that convoluted frame of thinking. Now, as you might expect, and as most of us know, the subject of miracles frequently comes up whenever the conversation turns to God or religion, those kind of things, which makes perfect sense because most religions, most established religions, were founded on miracles. In fact, that's what most of their holy days are based on. In Islam, people don't study it very much, but we've heard of the month of Ramadan. They have a month of fasting during the day. That's based on a historic battle where a small group of Muslim followers back in the 700 or 800s defeated a very large army that was trying to destroy them with the help of Allah. They consider that a miracle. In Judaism, we've got Hanukkah and a number of others, also called the Feast of Lights, where a small amount of sacred oil, one day's supply, lasted for 8 days until new oil could be brought in. They call that a miracle. And of course, in Christianity, where many of us were raised, there's the Easter story with everything in there, and the Christmas story with all the miracles like the virgin birth and the wise men following the star in the east. And those are all lovely stories. They really are, and they're believed by billions of followers throughout the world. But in teachings like this one, what we call the New Thought / Ancient Wisdom teachings, that's a phrase coined by Michael Beckwith out at the Agape Center in Los Angeles, teachings like this that are based on ideas rather than stories, we have a different view of miracles. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Now, it's always been interesting to me that so many people need to believe in some spectacular, impossible event that defies nature before they can accept the idea of a supreme power that created everything there is. It's sort of like God has to prove to us that he or she or it exists. A lot of people feel that way. I mean, it's really kind of funny when you think about it. It's not enough that we have got 7 billion, with a B, roughly, living beings, breathing beings on a 1 in a trillion planet. We're looking out there. We can't find many more like it. Spinning through infinite space, being warmed very nicely by a nuclear fireball 93 million miles away. And to most of the world, that's not a miracle. That's just kind of the way things are. You know, that's just everyday stuff. But if a statue in a cathedral starts crying, you know, or the image of the Virgin Mary shows up in a pizza or a piece of toast, okay, people go crazy, absolutely crazy. I mean, if you think about it, life is expressing itself and multiplying in countless ways all the time, okay? And even though our best scientific minds can't even duplicate a blade of grass, let alone create a human being from scratch, it's amazing. But for most people, being alive and being healthy just that much in this amazing body that eats and breathes and thinks and talks and walks around doesn't qualify as a miracle. It doesn't. Instead, we have to have evidence of some impossible spontaneous healing of a disease that the medical community decided was incurable and give credit to some magical words uttered in the name of a saint who died 500 years ago. I was raised Catholic. That's sort of how they defined miracles. I mean, it seems to me that a major shift in our perception about what constitutes a miracle is in order. Now, I want to be clear from the very beginning. I say these things not to make fun of anyone's beliefs. Because most stories about religious miracles are beautiful sacred stories, and if you study them intelligently, they have deep sacred meaning that goes back thousands upon thousands of years about the, you know, the depth of our spiritual reality as human beings. I say this, I'm talking about miracles this way, because there are several problems with the way we have traditionally looked at most events that the world thinks are miraculous. Now, the first problem is believing in miracles in that way can limit our vision. It can. If we choose to focus our reverence, our awe, all those things, only on the exceptions to the rule, only on those events that appear to be outside the natural, physical, or spiritual laws that exist in the world, then we risk losing sight of all the wonderful things in life that are just as significant that go on every single day. Every single day. For example, let's say, and I've seen this more than once, I'm sort of doing a conglomerate example here. Suppose we go to our doctor and he or she tells us that we have a life-threatening illness, the dreaded diagnosis, you might call it. If all of our attention immediately becomes focused on searching for a miracle cure, because we believe that that's the only chance we've got, we're probably going to ignore the natural healing power that our body already has. That our body already has. That may be more than capable of handling the problem. Or we may ignore some perfectly reasonable medical procedures that we don't even know about. We don't even see it, all right? You see, the real miracle in any healing situation is not something special that God decides to do for us. The real miracle is in what life has already given to us, which is a consciousness that's much more powerful than any physical problem we can ever have. That's what Dr. Holmes meant when he made that wonderful statement, the thing that makes you sick is the thing that makes you well. That's a very powerful statement. It isn't that we make ourselves sick and then God heals us. That's the way a lot of people believe it goes. God, the same consciousness does both. The same consciousness. That's the premise for mental and spiritual healing. An unhealthy mind creates an unhealthy body, but heal the mind and our health gets better. That's the premise for the healing. Which leads to the second problem with seeing miracles only as something outside the ordinary way the world works. If we believe, as a lot of the world does, that miracles are special favors only done for certain people who say certain words or belong to a certain religion and done by some sort of a god or a power that lives somewhere out there, then we basically deny our role, our sacred role, as co-creators with God of our experience. We absolutely deny it. In other words, we're ignoring the greatest gift that we've been given as spiritual beings, which is the freedom that we all have, no matter who we are or what religion we are, to use this infinite power that created us to create something better in our life. But the way we exercise this freedom is very, very important. The way we exercise this freedom is by focusing our belief and our attention on what we want instead of worrying how to get God to miraculously change or fix what we don't want. That's a very big difference. We may be looking for a physical healing. We may be looking for an emotional healing. We may have a money problem or a relationship problem, but as my teacher once said, you never have a money or relationship problem, you only have a consciousness problem. Okay? Very good statement. It doesn't matter. The principle here is still the same. If we don't focus on what we are really ready for with our whole heart, soul, and being, or if we automatically reject all the perfectly ordinary ways that our good can come about just because we believe they don't work or they don't make sense, then we give up a lot of our ability to consciously influence what is showing up in our life. That's why the first rule of attracting or creating miracles in our life, if that's what we want to do, is to keep an open mind. It's really that simple, to keep an open mind. Dr. Holmes's biography is called Open at the Top. That's what he means. Now, part of the problem is we get bogged down in things like logic and experience and rational thinking. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Those are valuable tools that serve a very specific purpose. But what we have to realize about these things with logic and experience and rational thinking is they only work with what we already know. You get it? They only work with things that we are aware of, we're familiar with. So to expand our range of possible solutions, we need to be open to all the things that we don't know that we can know. That's where the real miracles are going to have to come from. A few years ago, it's a story I love, one of the top physicists in the world was out in Denver at a big conference, and he was the keynote speaker. So he walked out and he didn't say anything, and there were hundreds of physicists from all over the world out in the audience. And without saying a word, he walked up and he took a marker and he went up to this huge whiteboard, I guess it'd be over here, in the back of the stage, and he made a little circle about the size of a quarter. And then he turned around and he said to the audience, "That dot indicates how much of the world we can explain at the present time." A great insight. But what he didn't say, though he implied it, was that all the rest of the board symbolized what we don't know yet. What we don't know yet. And in that empty space, symbolized by the huge white space on the board, is a universal, infinite intelligence waiting for us to discover more and more about how the physical and spiritual laws of the world work and how our mind works and how we can use it all to express life in a better way. So when we combine greater knowledge and understanding, which is what science is, and we combine that with spiritual wisdom, which includes things like love and compassion and creativity and imagination and enthusiasm, like Diane was talking about, and respect for our environment and respect for one another, no matter who we are, and all that stuff, then lo and behold, when we combine science and spirituality, the miraculous becomes ordinary and the ordinary becomes miraculous. It really, really does. Now, the dictionary, I always like to go back to the dictionary, back to basics. It defines a miracle as, quote, "an extraordinary event in the physical world which surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause." The key word in this definition is known. Known, all right? For a long time, a big part of humanity has believed that if something happens we can't explain, God must have done it. I mean, we've got that attitude today just like the caveman had. They thought God was throwing lightning. Okay, we know what lightning is, but we still ascribe to God certain things that we can't explain. Now, in philosophy, there's a name for this thought process. It's called the God of the gaps. The God of the gaps, okay? In other words, whenever there is a gap in our scientific knowledge, whenever something happens in the physical world that we can't explain based on what we know now, we assume that some supernatural power stepped in to perform a miracle. But if you think about it, look at this person who was in, it was all over the news a couple weeks ago, the woman who won the $650 million lottery. Okay, I bet she thought that was a miracle. She probably felt like it. But no matter who won or what we may think, that person winning was not a miracle, right? She picked her six numbers, just like everybody else did, and her numbers came up. That's all that happened. Now, if she had won the lottery without buying a ticket, that would have been a miracle, right? Okay? All right. Now, throughout history, people have given God all the credit and sometimes all the blame for such perfectly natural occurrences as winning the lottery, solar and lunar eclipses like the one we had a few weeks ago, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, droughts, and plagues of locusts infesting their enemies. They've given God credit for all of that stuff. Like that guy recently who said Harvey hit Texas because Texas voted Republican. You know, come on, people. Let's just use our heads here, okay? Really happened. Look it up. I think it was a pastor who did that. Anyway. But as our level of understanding about the solar system and nature and the environment and all these things improves, we begin to look at these things differently, because now we understand how they work. But some religions still refuse to allow anyone in their teaching to question the miracle stories or even to accept the possibility of a natural explanation, because accepting these stories without question is proof to them that God is real and their religion is valid. That's what they use for proof. Unfortunately, that's not proof. They are just substituting blind faith for scientific understanding. They are. That's all they're doing. That's why science and traditional religion have been each other's throats occasionally and always arguing with each other for so many years. But there's another approach we can take, one that combines intelligent scientific knowledge with deep spiritual values. Reference Albert Einstein, who was a very spiritual person, besides being one of the greatest scientists in history. He once made the statement, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle." A lot of you have heard that. Great quote, isn't it? He also said, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." Very, very profound. I think most of us here can agree that the healthiest and most constructive way for us to live, both mentally and spiritually, would be to look at every single bit of this thing we call life as miraculous. But the miracles we should be focusing on are not those spectacular events that seem to occur outside of nature. There aren't too many of those anyway. Instead, the miracle that most deserves our attention is the creative process itself. The creative process itself. The process that nature uses day in and day out to create the world that we see. The creative process is the perfectly natural combination of intelligence and possibility and physical laws that creates amazing things, like thunderstorms and butterflies and flowers and trees and babies and puppies and kittens and all that kind of stuff. These everyday, ordinary miracles constantly remind us that life is beautiful and abundant and precious. Very, very precious. These are miracles that maybe we can't recreate, but we can certainly appreciate. But we have to look at them in the right way. The important thing is not to let our scientific understanding get in the way of our sense of wonder, of our reverence for this amazing power at work, because the two of them go in hand in hand. Science and spirituality. One of them is law, the other one is love. Dr. Holmes calls these the two pillars upon which life stands. Of course, there are a lot of other little miracles that affect us every day in a different way, but we don't call them miracles. We don't. We call them synchronicity or coincidence or luck and a bunch of other words. But all they really are is a combination of perfectly natural circumstances and conditions functioning in a way that we didn't expect or even realize was possible. All right, in a way that seems so unusual to us that it's almost magical. How could that happen? When I used to do a lot of counseling, we'd do some work on stuff, and I'd work on helping them get their thinking in a certain way, and they'd come to me after 2 weeks, and they go, "You're not going to believe what happened." And I tell them, "I believed it before it happened. I don't know about you." Okay? Otherwise, I'm in the wrong business, all right? For example, let's say we finally decide that we're ready to change a career, okay? But we aren't sure how to create the job we want. We may feel a little stuck. One afternoon, we go into a store that we don't normally go into, and we run into a friend we hadn't seen in years, a friend whose picture we came across a few days earlier going through the closet looking at some old photos. Remember photos, those paper things with pictures on them and stuff? Okay. And in the course of our conversation where we're reminiscing about old times, we ask them what they're doing now, and they happen to mention a job opportunity that fits us perfectly. Perfectly. Or here's a personal one. Goes back a number of years when I first moved to Atlanta. I was here for 6 months. I rented a place, drove around a little, and decided to buy a house. So I found a great house in Morningside, a duplex, for $125,000. That tells you how long ago this was, in Morningside, okay? But I was a little bit short on cash for down payment. I had just moved to Atlanta. I had gone through a divorce and this stuff. Two days later, I got a letter from guess who? The IRS. Our friends, okay, from the IRS, all right? And they told me in this letter that I had overpaid my taxes a couple years before, and in there was a check for a little over $4,000, which is exactly how much I needed to complete my down payment, okay? Now, do these things qualify as miracles, all right? Did God make them happen, or were they just ordinary occurrences that happened to work out in amazing ways? That's fine. But an even more important question is there a way that we can cause events like these to happen on a much more regular basis? That's the real question that intrigues me. I mean, it would make life a whole lot easier if we could do this stuff on demand. The truth is, we do have the ability to experience what we might call everyday miracles much more often than we do. And the good news is, we don't need any more participation from God than we already have. That's really good news. I'm talking about our ability to consciously create conditions and experiences and opportunities and relationships that we previously considered impossible. And we probably thought they were impossible because we thought there was some logical, reasonable explanation why they couldn't happen that we had accepted as the truth. That we had accepted, not that it was the truth, but we accepted it as the truth. Now, we refer to this process of creation as manifestation. If you're into the Abraham stuff or Louise Hay and all that, you're familiar with that term. That's the way we go about turning thoughts into things. It's the way we go about making the invisible visible, the act of turning something that exists only in our consciousness into something concrete, okay? Of turning something possible but not very likely into something very real. Very, very real. Now, on a material level, this process deals with how to get stuff. And that's fine. You know, we can get stuff. Or how to change things that we don't like or to make things happen. But on a spiritual level, which is much more important, this is the way we interact with the divine process. That's not only something we use, it's something we are. We are that process. Now, this process makes use of the physical laws of the universe, but it does so through mental and spiritual laws that work by aligning us with the power of life. And we are able to accomplish greater things once we discover new ways to use these laws. But here's the key. Here's the key. In order to make this process work the way we want it to work, which is consciously and deliberately, when we want, with the results we want, we have to see it as a science rather than superstition. We have to see it as science rather than superstition. That means it's dependable rather than arbitrary. It means it's predictable rather than random. And it comes from in here instead of someplace out there. Out there. That means you and I have to see ourselves as an integral part of the process that creates miracles in our life if we intend for them to happen. Okay? Now, in some ways, the power and the process that we use to create our experiences is perfectly ordinary. Perfectly ordinary. We use it every single day as we wander through the world and we live a normal life. But it's not just a tool that we turn on and off at our convenience. It's not. Some people come into this teaching and they do a little bit of reading and they get all caught up in the technique and the steps of affirmative prayer and what am I supposed to do and how long do I meditate, how often, how do I do this and all that. And you can use it that way and be perfectly fine. But if we really want to have extraordinary things happen on a regular basis, I do. If we want to experience things that make our life bust wide open time after time, in a good way, that's nice, we need to go a little bit further. We need to go a little further. We need to honor this power, we need to respect it, and we need to put ourselves in harmony with it all the time. Not just when we're trying to get something or change something. We need to connect with life as often as we can at a deeper level than most of the world does. That means we need to connect with the world at a mental and spiritual and emotional level that completely accepts that this is a world of infinite possibility limited only by our imagination. Limited only by our imagination. We have to go beyond our normal tendency to divide the world into the ordinary and the extraordinary, into the possible and the impossible. That kind of separation limits us. It does, okay? It limits our vision. It limits our ability to see something better when we're stuck in what we call the real world. We need to believe with every fiber of our being. I always like to say at a visceral level. I love that, okay? That something incredible can happen at any time because that's the kind of universe we live in. That is the kind of universe we live in. We need to believe that any disease can be healed, no matter what the doctors say. We need to accept that prosperity can and does show up from unexpected sources. We need to know that love, which is the greatest miracle of all, can overcome any amount of hatred or fear or loneliness or any other emotion that divides two people. These are miracles that are happening every single day. And we need to know completely and without question that they can happen to us. That they can happen to us. Now, how do we do this? Good question. Well, it takes a couple things. It takes awareness and it takes practice. That's really all. We have to begin to draw on different resources, spiritual resources that combine our intelligence and our passion for life. We have to expect the unexpected. We have to know that nothing is impossible. We have to put our imagination behind it and let it run free, but to make sure this time it runs in a positive direction. There's a lot of people that have a lot of imagination. They just take it in the wrong direction. That's the only problem. If we can't open up at least that far, there's not going to be any room for miracles to appear. We don't leave a space for them. In The Science of Mind, Dr. Holmes writes this. He says, I love this. He gets a little woo-woo in spots, but I like it anyway. He says, there is a place in the mind with a capital M, meaning the universal mind of which we're a part, there's a place in the mind where it throws itself with complete abandonment into the very center of the universe. Isn't that beautiful? There's a point in the supreme moment of realization where the individual merges with the universe, where a sense of the oneness of all life so enters our being that there is no sense of separation. And then he says, it is here in that no separation space, that the mind performs seeming miracles because there is nothing to hinder the whole from coming through. There's nothing to hinder God, Spirit, the creative power from coming through. In other words, we have to center ourselves in this space where there is no separation between us and God and the creative power of life. That's when the miracles start flowing through us into the world and nothing and no one can stop it. Nobody. If we learn to focus our attention on the end we desire, not the how, but the what, and if we allow this creative process, what we might call the God process, to bring that in about in the best possible way, sometimes the way things happen may seem like a miracle. It may, okay? But even when it does, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be delighted. We should be delighted. We should be grateful. And we should be ready for it to happen again and again and again. Because if we would just allow a few more amazing and unexpected things to happen, our life could begin to feel like a magic show. You ever watch Penn and Teller? Fool Us? One of those amazing shows. With one incredible, unbelievable experience after another. That's what it's meant to be. That's what it's meant to be. That's why we're here. That's why the universe is here. Okay? That's why everything works the way it does. And if that isn't a miracle, I don't know what is. The truth is, if we are not fascinated by life every day, no matter how it shows up, we're not paying attention. We're just not paying attention. But once we start to, once we figure that part out, then we can just relax and enjoy the show and stop trying to figure out how all the magic works. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's take a moment. A lot of talk, a lot of thoughts. Everybody hears something different when they hear it, and a lot of ideas come up from all sorts of places. Those are the miracles we're talking about. So I invite you to take a few moments. And in this time together, I'd also like you to think safe thoughts for those who are in harm's way with the with nature right now. And just feel a sense of peace within you that expands from you into every person here, into this room, outside this building, and everywhere. And I truly believe that that sense of peace can calm the storm, can help to calm the storm. So this is what I know. I know that life is an amazing proposition. The very fact that I am here in the midst of this incredible space, this planet, with nature and history and the future and many other beings and all these amazing things, is difficult to explain. But I explain it by realizing that it is life's purpose to grow and evolve and expand. And I am a part of that purpose. I am here for a reason. And that reason is to be alive as much as I can, to embrace life, to allow what is in me, the love within me, the creativity within me, the joy within me, to burst out, to share with others, to share my thoughts, to share my feelings, to share my beliefs respectfully. I am here to be peace. I am here to be love. I am here to be kindness. I am here to be a power for good in the world. And I recognize that it all starts in my consciousness. It starts with the thoughts I think and the feelings I choose to feel. And these two powerful things combined allow the invisible within me to become concrete. I know that as each one of us recognizes this, all of us everywhere, things change. Life changes around me, and it changes around all of us. This is the power we have. And I do this not by bringing God into the equation, but by recognizing that Spirit is the equation. And I am the equation, all of it the one life being expressed in the world in great ways. So I open my heart and mind to balance for everyone and myself, to health, wholeness, prosperity, peace, and especially love. I am grateful for all that I have been given and for all that I have yet to give. And knowing this, when I leave today, every person I meet is a miracle. Everything I see is a miracle. Everything I choose to do is a miracle. And I give thanks. In gratitude, I accept this as the truth for me now and in every moment of my life, and I release it into consciousness, letting it do its good and perfect work for me now and always. Join me in saying, and so it is.